welcome out to another episode of Where's the Punch podcast. This is Jamie Maxfield, your host and MC for this joyous event. Alongside with me is my beautiful friend, Ben Flora. Although you cannot see him, you're going to have to take my word for it.
Yeah, I have a face for radio.
Yes. That's a new one. Did you just write that one? I've never heard that before. That's a good one.
You know, I'm always pushing the boundaries, Jamie.
You're pretty edgy this weekend.
Maybe if you get the chicken shit, you can see him.
And that was soda can.
Yeah, soda pop.
Soda can was
soda pop.
Piping in there.
So your surname is Pop.
Yeah, from the Pop Dynasty.
I feel like I'm high and I'm not.
Yeah, you're really pretty. Did you know that? I'd smooch you like a mewing an apple.
All right.
Are you a cereal box cartoon character? Because that's totally what you're selling me right now.
Okay, sure. I'll sell you whatever you want, sweetheart.
It's a version of Captain Crunch that's been banned from the United States.
Probably.
Yeah, because you cut the roof of your mouth. Anyway, on to the show.
That's awesome. So, again, the premise, many of you know, behind the podcast is kind of talk a little bit about the joke writing process. So we have a couple comedians here today. One that you just heard from, Soda Bottle over there.
Soda Pep.
And then Gina Barker.
Yeah, that's who I am.
As well. So that's exciting. So again, the premise of the podcast is to talk a little bit about the joke writing and then also to help each other with any premises that we're kind of working out on, like we're trying to hammer out. So,
are we gonna talk about Pokemon? Because I feel like that's a huge cultural.
Wait, which Pokemon?
You know, Pop Spike.
Is right now?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of people are doing Pokemon material.
People should be writing Pokemon jokes. I'm telling you,
it's gonna hit hard. Right?
Oh my god, it's gonna be so explosive.
It's gonna be the next Hot Pocket series of jokes.
Catch 'em all or something. My grandson loves that shit.
What did you
evolve into? Can you sway on this?
Yeah, okay. It's an uncensored, I don't know, back in 1849 if that was allowed.
Well, but I know you got the service on Sunday, so I want to be all respectable, like, but I just sometimes my go a little blue, you see, you understand?
See, I don't think what year was that, 1879? I don't think shit was actually a bad word.
1879 or 1849?
It's got to be 49.
49ers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, both of them.
So, having said that, I don't think shit was a bad word back then.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You can say it.
Okay, oodalolly, okay.
Oodalolly.
That was a bad word.
You just quoted Robin Hood.
Oh, shay.
Well,
humbug. Woohoo! I'm being dirty.
It's a joyous day.
So let's get back into Pokemon.
So you're feeling strong about that direction.
Do you think Pokemon joke writing is important?
Like, I haven't written any Pokemon jokes, but I'm, you know.
The culture, the pop culture pressure is pushing you towards writing.
I think everyone should be writing Pokemon jokes right now. There are not enough Pokemon jokes.
Just having Pokemon.
You get on the cusp of it right now, you're going to be like, oh my god. That's a genius idea. Having like themed comedy nights. Do you know how often I'm like watching Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets, and I'm like, no one will understand though. I can write this joke, but no one will get it.
You could totally market it towards the Pokemon.
Yeah, you just have to hit like the right cultural swings.
The thing I'd be worried about is doing a Pokemon comedy night is the Pokemon audience in general isn't old enough to come to this bar.
BS.
Oh no, they're all
old enough.
Do you know
who the Pokemon audience is? You don't know your Pokemon audience, sir. All right, we are all over the age of 21 now. A little sad about growing up and looking for an outlet to put that terrible energy towards.
Yeah, you know, I heard an interesting thing about there's episodes where the man he's got breast implants. I heard that from my grandson actually.
What have you heard about breast implants? What are breast implants?
Okay.
Did they have those back then?
What? I don't. What? Who are you?
What?
Silicon.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. What they do?
I'm calling BS on this.
What?
Silicon doesn't exist. Tell me what a breast implant is from the 1840s.
She went to
actual glass.
Yeah. It's actual glass. Yeah.
Filled with
like
seawater.
A glass eye.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like anyone else have like Pirates of the Caribbean rolling through their heads and like, oh no, my breast implants rolling across the deck floor and you gotta run after it? Is that just me?
No, that's what happened. Then she burned you with cigarettes. It was lovely.
It was either glass or wood, because whenever they had to make fake parts of bodies, it was either glass or wood. So if you could afford the glass.
Breast implants are the most depressing thing that's ever been said.
Right there, mate. Wood breast implants gives you slivers.
I've got it.
It's sexy.
I'm actually writing it. Wood breast implants.
Martha Washington.
Martha Washington, she was a woody, she's a woody cunt.
Give you slivers. Is that what you said?
Yeah, give you slivers.
It's like kind of like shiver me timbers.
Yeah, shiver me timbers, give me slivers. Ooh, lolly, you're a biscuit.
All right, before Soda,
let's get, yeah,
before Soda Bucket takes away, takes the show over, I will go ahead and I'll get things started off with a premise that I kind of want to write, but I haven't been able to really format it into a joke. The whole premise is soccer fans. I want to do a joke about soccer fans, specifically how.
It.
Well,
I don't think there's been many. I don't think anybody's actually ever
done
like
a soccer
Pokemon.
Fan.
Yeah, that, yeah, that's.
Now,
that's
are these Shaka
but
this fans is
Pokemon's
Shaka,
on the cusp. It's coming. We just haven't seen a lot of
hooligans.
Yeah.
Shaka hooligans or Shaka fans?
They've always been really into their scarves. That's one thing that I would notice immediately about soccer fans. Is
they
soccer fans love
scarves.
Their scarves. Mm-hmm. They hold them over their heads, and they have that like that beat thing. Okay, come
the
on. There's
thing.
Like
so soccer.
Any
I don't think I've seen soccer. How are scarves used in soccer?
Oh, I don't know. They hold them over their heads.
Oh, the fans.
Like
the fans. I was thinking players.
No, not the players. So much as the fans.
That's just because they're European or South American. That's just the standard part of the wardrobe.
When I think of soccer, I think way more of the fans than I do the actual game. It's so much more what's happening in the stands than what's actually happening.
Yeah, because if you watch the game, this is my whole thing. Is I've got a bunch of buddies of mine that are big soccer fans, and whenever you go up to soccer fan, like I told them this the other day, they're like, "Oh man, there's a soccer game." I'm like, "I can't watch soccer. I don't like. It's just not that great." And they're like, "What?
What don't you like?"
And they immediately, every soccer fan, whenever you approach them about not liking soccer, the first thing they get so defensive over soccer.
That's like saying you don't like having sex with a woman. What are you, gay?
No.
It's okay, though.
The soccer,
I mean, that's
soccer.
Like people that don't like gold.
Yeah, I know, right? Who doesn't like gold? Woo-hoo!
Soccer, though. Soccer's like...
or Cocoa Puffs. I mean, whatever.
I heard you cuckoo for them, aren't you? Hey.
I think this is a bad idea.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. I still love you.
He should right. be dead
Soda
soon,
Pop?
So...
Jamie?
What?
Go.
Soccer fans.
Okay, so soccer fans.
What is soccer?
So they immediately get defensive over their sport, and they always bring out this, they love to say this. They always say, well, soccer is more popular than any other sport in the world. More people watch soccer than any other sport. And that's
they
what they justify.
Right.
They are.
They
but
are
they,
right.
But that, now my premise is saying, well, that doesn't make soccer better. More people eat rice cakes than stuff, but that doesn't make me want to eat rice cakes.
So you're just like saying like it's like Africa doesn't have a really in-depth knowledge of the Big Mac yet, so we can't say that they don't.
They wouldn't like it.
Of course, they like cabbage better. But cabbage is more readily available.
Because it's all they have.
I don't know. But I went to Africa and I saw them kicking around. I swear to God, it was like dirt taped up with. Like duct tape, and they were having the best time of their
sure
lives.
Sure, you went to Africa.
You can't do that with a basketball. Soccer, you can kick around anything.
You don't need. Yeah, you don't need anything.
I'm gonna.
That's
like,
why everybody likes
oh
it.
Oh my God, I'm.
Do you have
fan.
Age?
I'm defending soccer.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
The thing though about soccer though, and I've thought a lot about this. Soccer is like the perfect third world sport, right? Because all you need is it doesn't even have to be a ball, like you said. It's like a bunch of leftover duct tape.
Yeah.
Or twigs and stuff that are with thread
can
wrapped
you ball
around
it.
Yeah, something that's just. Balled up to kick. And all you need is a big open space, which the world has a lot of.
Hockey screw. And the ability. That's all I'm hearing.
Yeah,
hockey screw.
Hockey, basketball is kind of a good kind of third world or poverty sport as well, because all you need is flat land and a basket.
So
football, you need equipment. Hockey, you need equipment.
Where's
golf,
the joke?
You need equipment.
Where's the joke?
The joke
oh,
is just all about. So my
it's
whole thing is
fans.
Just.
Come on.
It's just about them defending.
Shooting fish
soccer,
in barrel.
Right? It's just.
Well, when I was a kid, we used to play whacking stick. We just hit each other with sticks.
You're a liar. You used to play that game where you have like the wheel and you have a stick.
We
yeah,
did that.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, that was like
wheel
something
sticking.
Here in the head.
Wheel sticking.
I mean,
yeah.
Stick pulling. What are you guys
doing? That was like in Rambo 2, right?
Is that in Rambo 2?
Yeah,
Rambo
Brian Dennehy. Stick pull.
Oh.
Tuned wheel.
So that's my whole joke premise that I'm trying to, and I'll actually do it tonight. We'll see what happens. I'm just gonna kind of rant for a second on soccer
fans
see what
are
sticks.
Interesting because it's not only that they're extremely passionate, which they are. On top of that, they do feel like they have something to prove to the world. It's not like
yeah.
you can go, oh, my favorite nine, my favorite team is the 49ers because I'm being relevant.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just got that.
Where did the 49ers get their name? Trivia fact. Please tell me everyone knows that.
From Soda Bucket.
Probably.
That's where they got it.
I support the Vikings.
No, but yeah, I mean, soccer fans do have this extra hurdle where they have to go, soccer's not a pussy sport. And then you see, I don't know, I always am very interested in the way that people dive in different sports.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I like basketball's my favorite because I feel like they always fall on their backs like a turtle.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like they look like a turtle. You know, like, oh, I forgot how to stand. Everything hurts so much. And like soccer fans will do something very similar, you know, where the soccer players will fall and they'll treat it like I'm on the verge of death. I'm barely holding on.
Yeah, like they got stabbed with a javelin.
The penalty gets called. They get their kick and then they just jump right up like it's nothing. Yeah. It's really frustrating to watch, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Somebody and who's a hockey fan.
Of course, soccer fans defend all of this stuff.
Of course they do because basketball has laid the way.
Yes. And it's the thing is,
laying the wage.
If you go up to somebody who likes golf, like a golf fan, mm-hmm. and the and you say, oh, I don't like golf, they'll be like, no, that's fine. But if you go up to a soccer fan and go, I don't like soccer, they're like, what? How can you not like this sport?
Clearly, you don't understand how the game works.
Yeah, clearly.
There are shootouts. You know, there are shootouts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There are definitely shootouts.
Yeah.
I mean, like the Wild West.
And of course, there's ties, so I can't really call it a sport if there's ties.
Wait, so, why are you wearing a tie? Is it champ for church?
Could be. So let's see. Soda pitcher.
Yeah.
You got any premises that you want to? You're trying to bring
usually
back.
Usually, I like to sequester myself when I write the jokes. And I don't tell anybody.
That was a big college word, you know, by the way.
Sequester. Oh, I'm learning at university, man. I'll tell you what. I like to sequester myself.
What?
I won't wear any pants. And then what I like to do is I like to fart in a room and then leave it. And I go, oh, sure, that smells. And then I get an idea for a joke. And I'm like, oh, Bessie's my meal, you understand?
So if we're able to miss this whole process, if we're able to jump over the farting process of you writing a joke, what would the joke be that you're writing?
Sure, I usually like to talk about, you know, the trail and, you know, how you can, you know how sometimes that you got faces on coins and they look like demons?
And sometimes
I try to think they're stealing my thoughts.
You're going to start talking about Oregon trails, aren't you? This is going in a good direction. We'll stop him.
I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
What? That game that everyone had to play, before the computer was a real thing in classrooms.
Oregon Trail.
You're gonna survive. You know, someone has dysentery. How do you deal with it?
Yeah.
You know, I get
dysentery.
You only
have one sack of flour left.
I don't know that game.
You don't know Oregon Trail?
I don't know either.
We found a generational divide or some sort of divide at least.
Yeah. You would it was like a choose your own adventure on the computer, and it would give you scenarios, and then you'd have to pick. And they were like brutal, like people were dying and stuff, and you like.
But you'd give them all names, and you usually name them after your friends and family members, which made it exceptionally morbid.
You just watch all your family die.
It's like,
yep.
It's Frank,
like the real Oregon
Frank
Trail.
Frank dies from dysentery. Frank's my dad. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Today's a hard day. I won't be able to look him in the eyes for a week. Let my dad die in a video game.
Gina, you have anything? I see you got some jokes that you're gonna be doing tonight. What are you working on?
I have a lot of different ideas, and that's one of the huge problems is like you feel like you always have ideas, but then I go through these lulls where I feel like the punchline just never quite comes for me.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
So much. You guys are the greatest people.
Well, thank you.
thank you, sure.
We are recording live here at the complex.
That's
so.
Ryan Schlegel. Everybody.
That means people are gonna be coming up to us.
I'd like to do a Schlegel out.
No, I mean, for instance, one of the things I'm working right now on is time travel. I feel like there's so much...
Like you're worrying on actual time travel or a joke on time travel?
The thing is, I think about it a lot, and I feel like because it's always on my mind, it should probably be some sort of joke because I'm always thinking about it. I can't be the only one that was ruined by Kit in King Arthur's court. I can't be the only person. I watched that movie and I'm like what would it be like to show them a CD player?
Oh, yeah.
And a CD player.
Rookie of the Year was way better.
Gina always gets a lot of anxiety whenever there's an eclipse mentioned in the news.
I'm just anxious in general. Well, not particularly.
You're going to have to wait till they invent spaceships and fly around the sun at a really fast speed.
So that we can turn back the time, Superman?
Not like Superman, like Star Trek.
Like shit.
Star Trek, they'd always go around the sun.
They'd go counterclockwise on the Earth.
And then they would go back in time.
I'm fascinated with the idea of it, and I don't know where that necessarily comes from, but I mean, I guess what I'm trying to do right now is like, okay, I'm a girl comedian, and there are definitely shticks that I can fall into, and definitely
Be don't be gross. We're
exactly.
Talking about sticks. What are you? Yeah.
Oh my God, I've shown my ankles.
yeah, dirty whore.
But like, yes,
I'm joking, sweetheart.
As a female comedian, there's a lot of obvious traps that
sure.
I can fall into.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to write jokes that don't have anything to do with men because I want to try to avoid that. And so yeah, I'm trying to write something about time travel and shit, it's hard.
Where
it's
are really you hard. At in the process? What do you got so far on time travel?
I have two kind of punchlines. A conversation of what it would be like to talk to a knight and how disappointed he'd be with the fact that we don't actually do anything with all the knowledge that we have available to us. I mean, it's sort of like the internet is phenomenal in all its infinite possibility, but it's useless because we don't ever use it for its full potential. And what that would be like to try to explain to somebody, you know, 200 years ago.
How would you even explain the internet to
somebody?
You
have every answer you could ever hope to have right at your fingertips. I mean, it's right there. Knowledge is being created in front of your eyes, and we use it for cat memes.
And he'd be like, can you stab somebody with it?
Speaking of cats, he's got a good Schrodinger's cat joke.
Oh.
Ben, why don't you tell him the Schrodinger's
cat joke? Do we
have
cat jokes?
Go ahead, Ben. Go do it.
No, I already told that joke. What I was thinking would be interesting, though, is kind of compare the kind of knowledge you get from Wikipedia on what it's like to live as a knight and the actual experience of meeting a knight and realizing that they don't bathe. And
they bathe once a year.
Yeah,
do you know that's how often medieval people bathe?
Yeah.
And okay, do you know
so that movie with Richard Gere, that first night, I mean, wouldn't be as sexy as it was.
do you know the saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Do you know that saying?
I've heard it, yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, so what it means is like, don't throw out something really important with everything. I guess it's something to do with like, don't get too caught up in your own ideas.
Uh-huh.
Don't miss something obvious. But that came because in the medieval era in like Elizabethan England, they used to bathe in order of importance of the house, which meant the dad went first, then the mom, then the oldest son, then it's success.
And by got to them to the baby.
And they bathe like once a year. You get to a baby, yeah. And could you imagine taking a child and
sticking it in that
kind of filth, and then like we're bathing it, and that's where that saying came from, is because the water was so disgusting.
And after the baby, you would throw the
baby in the water.
Yeah. Probably not.
Or
probably
because you throw the water out after.
How
you
water burn
the baby and just don't forget the baby.
That's where don't throw the baby out with the bathwater came from. In case you were wondering, yeah, I like history. I'm a bit of a nerd, but that's fine with me.
That's awesome.
I thought it was about abortion.
Do they have abortions in 1900?
Yeah, right. They'd shit in the tub, and the lady would like pop it out, and then they'd like, don't throw that out, it's a baby.
Just like that.
Your historical accuracies.
Astounding, I know. I was there, sweetheart.
What else? You got anything else that you're working on? Time travel. That's kind of a tough one, but I think once you nail it.
I would love to write something about the Hunger Games, but that may be because the next Hunger Games movie is coming out.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
You get it?
I don't know, it's always kind of like difficult, like writing something topical versus writing something that's going to be really long standing.
Yes.
I'm trying to make fun of my father more. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's like Gina has a list of things she wants to accomplish this year.
Like a top 10
ridicule
list.
Ridicule dad a little bit more in public.
My goal is to like work out the vibrator jokes and work in the family jokes. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And you hope the family doesn't come around in the middle of that process where you still have a lot of vibrator jokes, but you...
Oh, I talked about STDs, and my brother came to the show, and I'm like, well, how could this go wrong? This go wrong? And I remember I'm, like, standing up there, and I'm talking about it, and I see my brother's head just, like, hang. Just in, like, the middle of the crowd, everyone else's eyes, and then he's just, like, the back of his head, and that's what I have to look at. I'm like, well, I know who I've disappointed tonight. I know who I've let down. My
the Lord
brother.
Jesus Christ. That's
that, too.
That, too. Idiot.
I've given up there.
So Ben, have you got anything?
I actually have something I was working
what?
On. I was actually working
get out
on
of town.
You,
are you serious,
Jamie? I was thinking
you prepped for this show?
For this one, probably not the one we do next.
Yeah, probably not.
I was thinking I wanted to do a bit on the kind of the social interaction between smokers and how that's a metaphor for socialism, because it starts out, you know, everybody's really, really excited, everybody's happy. It's like, oh, hey, let's all smokers get
together. Usually drinking.
Yeah, they're drinking, but they get all their cigarettes, and it's big. Oh, here's all our cigarettes here, and everybody's smoking, and it's beautiful. It's, you know, peaceful.
It's everybody's, utopia.
Yeah, it's utopia, until they start getting to the bottom of the barrel, and the smokes are almost gone. And then things get difficult, because...
When
the cigarettes start to get out, then the social structure breaks down, and it's not perfect anymore.
I spilled my last cigarette. I'm a sharer. Do you know what really it is? Is smokers are constantly at odds with everyone who doesn't smoke, and you're like, I can't smoke indoors. I can't smoke here. I can't smoke there. I can't smoke there. You know, I can't even smoke in my apartment.
I've been out here on the patio, and in the beginning of the night, everybody's sharing cigarettes, but by the end of the night, it's like, oh, no, man, I have one cigarette left.
Well, maybe to homeless people.
No, this is comics to comics.
Comics to comics?
This is an epidemic. This is an epidemic that Ben is really wanting to get to the root of.
Let's start a nonprofit. We'll file for our 501c3 status tomorrow. We'll get the ball rolling to make sure that comedians never have to be without their cigarettes.
They always, people donate cigarettes. Half-smoked cigs. The other side of that was capitalism and all-you-can-eat buffets. With the 1% being the guys that come in at $3.59 to get the lunch rate, just as they change out the menu to the dinner menu. So they come in, they pay $8 instead of $12,
and they get
to stay for the steak. Yeah.
They get the prime rib.
Yep.
That's what it is.
That is good. I'm trying to figure out where we want to go with that.
I think that was it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy with it.
Good. Fantastic. Anything else? Anybody else?
Still got that rash.
Okay. Fantastic. Have you wrote a joke about it?
Yeah.
How do you know it's not leprosy?
Because my dick hasn't fallen off yet. Sure, that's how I know, sweetheart.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you want to check?
I had no idea they had the term sweetheart and as frequently as you used it in 1849.
Yeah, they had everything. It's very swirl.
It's very popular.
Sweetheart.
It's very swirl. You're very swirl.
It was like saying LOL or OMG.
I don't know
what
that is. I'm
right?
sorry.
No, I'm just trying to make a modern day reference.
Okay, I don't know what you're saying, but
we're
all right.
Relating it to the kiddies, I think.
Wait, what are we talking about, catch?
Kiddies?
I ain't catch? Well, I don't know why you're talking about catch. Is that like the musical?
You're so committed to the bit. I love it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep, Soda Stream is very.
Shut up, Cap.
Is very committed to this, which we appreciate his dedication. Well, has anybody got, one of the things that we do too is talk about any upcoming shows. Anybody doing any upcoming shows?
Well, I'm not Gina. In an upcoming show, but Thursday there's going to be a great Five Monkeys show going on.
Yeah? Cool.
Yeah. Jason Harvey is one of the hosts, and it's definitely worth attending if you're in the Salt Lake City area. Please attend.
That's
Thursday. October
24th. October 24th at Five Monkeys, which is a great venue. We've actually recorded this podcast live there a couple episodes ago, which is a lot of fun.
And that'll be a really great show because it's basically the show we did. Live there.
It's one of my favorite venues.
Yeah, you know, Five Monkeys is fun.
You have some venues where you're like, I don't really want to talk about that again. And then you have other venues that are like Five Monkeys where it's just a fun stage and a fun
crowd.
It
really is a good stage.
It is good. Yeah. It's great. I like that place. How about you,
Soda?
Well, on Friday, there's somebody else's baby here at the complex. It's just like a set list premise, I understand.
Uh-huh.
They kind of give you like a premise and you just kind of go with it. And that's kind of what you do.
So Andy Farnsworth has on November 8th, Somebody Else's Baby, which is his set list show. And what happens is Johnny Brandon, who's not here right now.
Yeah, that guy's a cunt.
and Andy Farnsworth come write a whole bunch of premises, and the comics get up and they have to write a joke on the spot.
Yep, I think that's cool. I think
which Gina's done before, and she was really great at it.
Good.
It's a very, very tough format.
It's stressful.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be on that show. Didn't I just commit to that one?
I think you committed to the roadkill version of it, which happens on the 12th.
Okay, whichever one.
Yeah.
Of those, which is cool.
But we decided to do that on a Friday and charge and try to get some comics paid.
Awesome. And then I will actually be coming up here in a couple months. I'll be in the Idaho Laugh Festival. I just got accepted to the Idaho Laugh Festival in beautiful Boise, Idaho. Thank you very much. And that'll be a lot of fun. And then I'll be doing a couple
shows. In Idaho, then you have to spruce up on your...
My Idaho bits.
Yeah, on your bestiality bits.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that Idaho not only is like a capital for potatoes, but I think that Boise also has the Prison Art Tattoo Museum.
Prison
National,
art.
That National Prison Art Tattoo Museum.
Tattoo. Wait. So is it prison tattoos?
Prison tattoos. It's a collection.
Presented
of them
in
a museum format.
Do they
format.
Cut off their skin and then hang it up on the wall?
It's enticing enough to go find out for yourself.
Yes. I will have to check that out while I'm up there. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Where's the Punch. We want to thank Gina and Soda.
Yeah.
Soda Light over
yeah,
there.
Surely, Pop.
I wish we had a fiddle to take him out.
And there's yes. Jailbird on
Jamie,
the loose.
Jamie, you should get fiddle music and have it running right now.
You know what? I will edit some fiddle music in
okay.
there.
Okay. So here's my song, Jailbird. There's Jailbird on the loose. I don't want to be too obtuse, but there's Jailbird on the loose. He's hornier than a one-legged moose. So lock up your daughter, because she's going to rape.
That might be the new opening music for Where's the Punch.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm sorry I made you mad, Ben.
You didn't make me mad, Soda Guy.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining us for this episode of the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and everywhere else in the intro world.
Yep.
All right, thanks, everybody. Bye.